Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Hoping that you'll enjoy this exciting episode.
Are you crying?
Well, wouldn't you be crying too if Zaxby stabbed you in the back? Unbelievable. For years, we've been publicly plugging Zaxby's. What do we get? Nothing. What does Mr. Beast get? Just because he happens to be a little bit more popular, all of a sudden, he's the Zaxby's darling, and they're making... They're making a Mr. Beast box.
Oh, we bought 4 of them so far.
Oh.
My kids have.
No.
Yes, they have.
Oh. Why don't you give me a paper cut and pour lemon juice in it next? Let's get to an exciting round of which story, although that one was pretty rough for me, which story is the most disturbing? Jimmy, as always, you are going to represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program. Are you ready, sir?
I am.
For your most onerous responsibility.
Yes, sir.
I was just affirming that.
Okay. I love judging.
It's a gift of mine. Story number one. Hey, Arizona State, could you be more offensive? Ooh, there's an exhibit that says George Floyd died for us. Each and every last one of us, God chose him. Ooh, that's it. That's the whole blasphemous shebang right there. That is story number one, that we are at the point in this stage of American history where it is absolutely fine for a government-funded, meaning you and I pay for Arizona State University, for a government-funded institution to flat out mock Christians, blaspheme their religion with impunity. No problem. Living in America, don't forget, we are living in a negative world now, and it ain't likely to get a whole lot brighter and more positive until we get in alignment with God's strategy for engaging the culture. If the people at Arizona State who approved of this blasphemous display were born-again believers, that blasphemous display wouldn't happen. And that is true for all of our social ills. The more people that get saved, I understand historically how Christianity has so influenced the culture. And the reason, well, manifold reasons, but one of the big reasons was almost everybody professed to be a Christian. That is no longer the case. So what do we do? How do we respond? Seems to me the clear biblical mandate is make more Christians, preach the gospel, make disciples, make the most of every opportunity. Jimmy, that's story number one. Number two. You doing the math on this so we don't get all confused?
I got it.
I mean, not that we'd get confused over math. Germany decided to decriminalize child porn possession. Well, how German of them? This is staggering that somehow a group of adults got together and said, let's just make it a misdemeanor. Because people have to have the right of free expression or whatever ridiculous justification they concocted. The bill, once it goes into effect, minimum sentencing for holding child abuse materials reduced. Criminal charge will become a misdemeanor. Oh, here's the rationale. This is from one of the noodles that decided this was a good move. A downgrade to a misdemeanor is urgently required in order to be able to respond appropriately and with the necessary flexibility to the large proportion of juvenile offenders. Well, does it matter how old you are? It is either right or it is wrong. Here, too, the perpetrators generally do not act in order to be sexually aroused, no, but rather out of drive typical of the adolescent stage of development. Dorothy, I want to join you and click my heels and go home sometime. Oh, guess what? The pro-pedophile groups have welcomed the change. There's a shocker for you right there. That's story number two, Jimmy.
Yeah, not off to a good start.
That is just Germany. Hello, land of Martin Luther. By the way, I read an interesting quote from Martin Luther. See if this doesn't ring a bell. I'll bet as I paraphrase this from German, of course, I'm translating it for you. You're going to think of a hymn. He encouraged people that you need to understand that the world hates us and that they're going to seek to take our stuff. They will seek to imprison us. They will seek to remove us from families. They will seek to kill us. And take they our lives, good fame, child, and wives? And life, and wife. So it'd be life. And take they our life, because otherwise it would be a Mormon hymn and not a Martin Luther hymn. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. They've nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth, that you don't have to be terrified of what's going to happen when you realize up front that it very well could. And that was his emphasis, that we get this straight in our minds that when we were enlisted into the Lord's army, and I'm not talking military, I'm talking about being a soldier for our captain who says, go and make disciples. We need to know up front. The cost of discipleship, please remember when Jesus gives the remarks about pick up your cross, follow me, hating parents, and then the division that's going on. This is about discipleship, not sonship. This is about the cost of discipleship. You are made a son. You are made a daughter in God's kingdom, free, courtesy of Jesus Christ. Discipleship, it comes with a cost. And I think this might be one of those boxes you might want to check with your kids if you're raising a mom and dad to let them know. As a Christian, you need to be aware. They could take your life. Are you ready to follow your master? Story number three. Here's another legal story for you. Brilliant. The Justice Department is recommending easing restrictions on the marijuana. That's really, really, by the way, where is that? I've got a story here that, oh, maybe it's in my stack of terrible stories. Oh, got it right here. Okay, so we got three and four. You ready, Jimmy? That was three.
Okay.
Legalizing marijuana. We got to lighten up when the kids want to get stoned from a doobie, he said contemporarily. Number four, U.S. alcohol-related deaths jumped fivefold in 20 years. However, interestingly, guess what has zoomed by alcohol use? Marijuana. The pot smoking. Got to tell you, it has actually been a blessing from COVID that my nose doesn't work because Mrs. Friel is constantly saying, don't you smell that? They're smoking pot. Didn't you smell? We'll pull up next to a car and she can whiff the marijuana. I can't, but she claims it is everywhere. And we are in Atlanta, Georgia. Last time I checked, not legal. So actually, Jimmy, that was stories five and six is what had there.
But five and six? Well, three and four.
No, three was the Justice Department eases the restrictions. Four would be U.S. alcohol-related deaths jump fivefold. Story number five is that more people are smoking pot than drinking alcohol. Math. Who needs it? Story number six. It's story number six. I'm not sure how official this is, but story number six. Can you imagine what a mess this would be if we didn't prepare? That was a lie. Story number six. Shared this, I believe, last week, but here's the deets. National Institutes of Health and University of Texas, big study. 90 million patients. They revealed it's been a lie all along when they tell us if we don't allow our children to go under the knife for gender confusion, then their blood is going to be on our hands. Lie. Suicide risk increases 12 times after gender-affirming surgery. 12 times. Don't be bullied. Don't buy the lie. Let me share with you. This was from Not the Bee. They put in a story of an individual who committed suicide in 2021. Can't share some of the details because they're simply describing how his body was just mutilated. The colon having problems, can't discharge, severe blockage, which could turn into blood clots followed by death. I've already reached the stage of blockage. What hurts me the most is the loneliness and inability to find a partner. I can't have normal intimacy. I'm a loser and I probably deserve this deception. This is what I get for messing with nature. Mankind is self-destructive and I self-destructed. I just wanted friendship and love. I wanted life to be easier. I wanted to be a woman since I was 15. I wish I had the knowledge that I have today. I was confused as a kid with no identity. I wish I could have done everything differently. But now it's too late. Number six, a tragic story. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Adam Tyson, one of the new eight voices that will soon be joining this ministry, creating content to speak to this brave new world we're living in. Dr. Tyson is an adjunct professor at the Master's University. He's also a pastor with a doctorate of ministry from the Master's Seminary. Dr. Tyson brings expertise in biblical counseling and pastoral ministry, and his passion for teaching and mentoring the next generation is evident in his work with Gen Z men. And your support can help us bring more voices like that of Dr. Adam Tyson to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign today, where every dollar you give to this new initiative will be doubled. Visit wretched.org/fellows for more information and see how you can make a difference. And together, we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you tired of Jesus being covered up by our post-truth world? Well, get ready because it's time for you to pick up your copy of Jesus Unmasked by Todd Friel. Todd unpacks how the entire Bible, both Old and New Testaments, point to one man, Jesus himself. That's right. Turns out the bronze serpent and the ark were more than just decor. They were fuzzy pictures of the Messiah himself. But it's not just a history lesson. Todd brings truth to our wishy-washy postmodern world. Your truth? My truth? Not how the Bible lays it out. The Bible lays out objective spiritual truth, whether you prefer it or not. Jesus made exclusive claims. He's either Lord, liar, or a lunatic. There's no fourth option, folks. So grab your copy of Jesus Unmasked today. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll be convicted, but most importantly, you'll encounter the unfiltered Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Grab your copy of Jesus Unmasked right now at wretched.org.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nyssa was an opponent of Arianism at the Council of Constantinople in 381. He wrote a book called Not Three Gods, explaining that there is one God in three persons. Each member of the Trinity is fully God, with all the divine attributes, yet each member of the Trinity is a distinct person. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
6 + 1 is, well, pretty much anything you want these days, but for our purposes, story number 7, as we continue playing, a very exciting round of which story is the most troubling. Jimmy, we've already heard 6. Are you ready for story number 7?
I am.
This is actually an audio clip. I'll let this play quite a bit because, quite honestly, it was all rather fascinating. Do you remember last week we talked about the maid woman, not Hazel, M-A-I-D? These are these wicked doctors in Canada who are given government permission to kill people. And she boasted the termination of 400 people under her care. Plus, as a side hustle, she's an abortionist. Doesn't get much more wicked than that. But wait a second, maybe it does. Jordan Peterson had a woman on his program. It was the horrifying truth behind MAID, M-A-I-D. Her name is Kelsey Sharon, author, combat vet. She's got her own podcast, and they discussed how Canada goes about the business of being so kind to those people that they want to kill.
People don't understand how MAID works. There's the track one, the track two, you know, the immediate, the 90-day to end of life and all of that. And yes, they stayed the bill till 2027 to the next vote, yeah, right? So that's all great. So technically mental health's not included. But what I found out yesterday that really, really bothered me was the mechanism of the actual procedure. So there's this drug called sodium thiopental, and it's made in Italy, okay? So it's used by anesthesiologists. And the anesthesiologist that came forward with this at this testimony was, this individual had been an anesthesiologist for 25 years. He came forward with the Senate subcommittee talking about this with MAID and his concerns with it, because MAID is being seen as compassionate and empathetic in care. Mm-hmm. So what he did is...
You know, the Nazi euthanasia program started with compassion and care, right?
I'm so glad you said that, because when I got to do trigonometry, we went to the war museums. Mm-hmm. And what terrified me the most was walking through the World War II portion and seeing the same verbiage.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah, definitely.
People were telling me I was going crazy. I'm like, no, you don't understand.
No, it's the same thing.
It's identical.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing.
The mentally ill, the people that are... Yeah. So what's
people
really...
People too distressed to live.
Thank you.
Right. And the categories keep expanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing. Expansion. So the sodium thiopental, which was really wild about it, is this anesthesiologist was like, it's going missing. We don't have a lot of it. We can't get it anymore all of a sudden over the past couple of years. And so he started researching it. Well, it's made in Italy, and Italy falls under the EU. And under the EU laws, you can never make a drug that is going to be used for execution. But Canada and North America, the United States and Canada had been using it for execution in America for death penalty. So they finally caught on to that. And anesthesiologists use it as one of the first drugs pushed to put you under. But here's what's really crazy is they said, well, there's got to be more to this. So they did it's a Freedom of Information Act with the NPR, with a journalist. And they got over 300 autopsies of individuals who were executed in America. And they didn't just get the autopsy kind of overview. They were given in-depth files. And when they went through them, 85% of those bodies showed a 2x level increase of water in the lungs. So what was happening is when this drug is pushed, it causes a drowning, and it's stated as akin to dying by waterboarding or drowning. Meaning, the reason people in Canada who are given MAID seem peaceful is because they're giving a paralytic first. So they're completely paralyzed, then this drug is administered as one of the four, and they start drowning to death, okay? So that means that when it's done by IV, it takes 10 to 15 minutes. That person could be literally drowning. Well, they're drowning to death, but they could be screaming if they weren't under a paralytic. They're drowning to death. We waterboarded people in Guantanamo. There's a reason we had to stop. It falls under cruel and unusual punishment. Yet we are having people like dying with dignity say that this falls under compassion and empathy. When you're drowning people chemically to death.
You found this out at the Senate hearing?
No, I found this out yesterday when the Senate hearing was given to me and the transcripts were given to me. It was Dr. Joel B. Zivok, associate professor of Emory University and School of Medicine, the Vancouver Coastal Health Authority. So what's been happening is that case I was telling you about, Fraser Health is withholding the families. They can't see her autopsy. They're not allowing it. They won't give access. The police have tried to get it.
This is the same case.
This is the same case. Yeah. So they will not give it to the family. So Fraser Health is abetting, like literally lying and holding information back. So what's wild about this though, is Dying with Dignity says that this is a painless death. Well, if you take MAID orally, it takes between 30 minutes to 24 hours. 24 hours of active drowning while you're under a paralytic. So the autopsies are showing that you actually drowned to death and you're waterboarded to death within your own body and you can't move or do anything about it.
That's story number 7, Jimmy. And I was thinking, what could possibly top that? But when you can, these other stories are so bad for human flourishing. This is all the theme here, maybe with the exception of Arizona putting up that blasphemous display, making George Floyd sound like the one who died for our sins. Oh, the other issues are all anthropological. It's all about a low view of human beings. This is a low understanding of Imago Dei. And so it is that we think that we can do with the human body pretty much anything we want to. This gets into the territory of gene manipulation. This gets into in vitro fertilization. This has all kinds of tentacles. Was talking with Andrew Walker the other day. We're working on a resource. He's going to be coming to town. We're going to do 10 lectures. And when I say we, I mean he is going to do 10 lectures on Christian ethics and how to argue the case from natural law to reveal that even nature screams, this is wrong. This is wicked. This is not the way that we should be thinking. And it will hopefully be just become another arrow in your quiver that you can fire when you engage our brave new world, who simply desires to do whatever they want to do to other people as long as I experience human flourishing. Story number 8, Jimmy. I've got story number... Okay, actually, nope. I'm going to share this one. It's going to seem radically mild by comparison, but I'm not so sure it's that much of a trite story. In Canada, bodies go unclaimed as costs put funerals out of reach. Now you can read that and think, well, that's nowhere near Germany making child pornography possession a misdemeanor. But what is underneath this? These are wicked people making terrible decisions that make people so poor with so little to be able to spend any discretionary funds for the incidentals of life that inevitably are going to pop up. They can't afford to bury loved ones. That's wicked. And this is why people rejoice when the righteous rule. And we groan when we have, well, people like Justin Trudeau. Did I just say his name out loud? Story number 9, ballot initiatives to make abortion a constitutional right in 2 states. This is going to be a biggie in the fall. I know everybody seems to be pretty confident that it's going to go the red wave this time. I got to tell you, until people start to recognize that the intentional taking of an innocent human life is murder, until that argument is made forcefully, you can do it so many ways. You can use natural law, you can use science, and you most certainly can and should use the Bible. But I'm telling you, people want their abortion because they want the intimate act that inevitably should result in procreation. They want it without consequences. Oof. By the way, Colorado is one of the states that wants to amend the Constitution. The right to abortion is hereby recognized. Government shall not deny, impede, or discriminate against the exercise of that right, including prohibiting death insurance coverage for abortion. South Dakota. South Dakota would be the second state Why don't I expect that to happen in the Dakotas? All right, Jimmy, just so that we can make it easy for you.
Uh-huh.
Story number 10.
Okay.
Story number 10. Study says trans men are going postmenopausal in their 20s. 95% developed pelvic floor dysfunction. In other words, these people who are lied to about mutilating their bodies, yeah, they're ending up getting sick. Isn't that loving of the world to provide that service that harms and, by the way, causes a 12-fold increase in suicide? Jimmy?
Yes?
Don't have time to review. Which one of these stories? Oh, wait, hold on. Let me do the thing. Yeah.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
What say you, sir?
They're all bad. They are all terrible, but nothing tops the first one, I don't think.
George Floyd?
Yeah, that is just horrible.
I don't care who it, anybody. George Floyd is kind of irrelevant to the of that story, that a university would think that it is acceptable to say that anybody but Jesus died for our sins. Ooh. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks. We start today with Philadelphia, who just set a world record, the largest drag queen story hour. Yeah, right near Independence Hall of all places, 263 people, including many moms with children, gathered at the National Constitution Center for this attempt, seemingly oblivious to the tragic irony. The very site where our founding fathers enshrined unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was witness to the normalization of exposing children to adult sexual themes and identities. Guinness was even on hand to certify the record, apparently happy to tie their brand along with this travesty. And to think, only day three of Pride Month, folks, it's gonna be a long June. Speaking of long sentences, a Washington, D.C. judge just handed down a staggering two-year prison term to a 75-year-old woman for protesting outside of an abortion clinic. Let that sink in for just a moment. An elderly woman, a mother of six, a grandmother of eight, being incarcerated for 2 years for standing up for the unborn in our nation's capital. Her husband made a heartfelt plea for mercy, expressing his fear that his ailing wife might not survive the sentence. But the judge, who characterized the lady's actions as violently obstructive and violating civil rights, responded with a seemingly flippant remark that the woman would make an effort to stay alive since it's a tenet of her religion. Please pray for this woman and her husband. More head-shaking Pride news now. Video game franchise Call of Duty, which no Christian should be playing anyway, but especially now that they've released a downloadable Pride pack featuring, I kid you not, transgender Pride bullets, along with bisexual, pansexual, and asexual color schemes for weapons. In an age where we've seen disturbing spikes in trans activist violence, including several mass shootings, somebody thought this one was a good idea. Even more concerning, Scholastic, that's the company that makes textbooks, they're using its Read with Pride initiative to push LGBT books onto kids as young as preschool. Their 2024 guide, matter-of-factly, tells teachers, you absolutely know queer children, and urge them to, quote, disrupt the status quo by validating all identities. Oh, well, we'll end with some good news. A bar in Eagle, Idaho has dubbed June Heterosexual Awareness Month. Predictably, the mob online was triggered by this, but there have also been some real-world consequences like vendor issues for the bar. But the bar says it's also received a flood of support from like-minded people who appreciate them staying true to their values. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio bringing you Is Entertainment Tonight still on the air?
We
should probably check into that a little bit. Yeah. Bringing you the latest in celebrity infotainment news and such that hopefully is of interest to Christians. And I think this one is. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, see if Entertainment Tonight is still on.
I think it is.
There were a number of those shows.
Yeah,
and then what was Inside Edition? That was kind of another one. Are they the ones who stalked on Ken Copeland for the creepiest video of all time on the YouTube machine? I think that was Inside Edition.
Entertainment Tonight's been going since 81.
Wow.
Inside Edition's been going since 88.
And you know who the happiest person is about that statistic that Entertainment Tonight has been going on since 81?
No,
John Tesh.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote the theme song.
John Tesh.
He just sits at home and lets the money come flowing in. Well, I say good on him for that. Let's get to our Russell Brand. As always, whenever we see a celebrity profess faith in Jesus Christ, want to exercise caution because, well, we've been burned too many times. And frankly, even if we hadn't been, I think our Bible informs us, let's be careful before we perhaps prop somebody up as being a representative. Now, that, of course, does not mean that if somebody makes a profession of faith that they do not have access and membership to a local church. But I think that there is a little nugget hidden in Paul's descriptors of what makes for a qualified elder. Not being a new believer, why is that? Well, he cites so that that individual doesn't become puffed up. I think there could be some other wisdom. Time is a good thing for people to experience and Christianity and all that it means and reveal whether or not we're dealing with a true or false convert. By the way, speaking of time, yes, this is the way my brain synapses. Was just doing a little studying last week, I guess, for Sunday's sermon about the early church and how they dealt with people who denied Jesus Christ. There was persecution like a nobody's business. After the first century, it was rocking. It was already a very bad time to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Second century, ditto. Third century, it was ebbing and flowing. Sometimes there wasn't. It depended on the ruler. But they were feeling it in the third century, and there were a number of councils that were held to answer the question, what do we do with the individual who denied Christ under threat of the of being executed, but now they want back in? What do we do with those people? Initially, you need to understand that it was very rigid. The initial response was, you denied Christ, you are out. Well, some time went by, more conversations happened, and some genuine people who were frightened. They made a bad decision. They denied Jesus Christ. And they were set free. Now they wanted to get back into the church, and they started to see, wow, these people are actually genuine. But what did they do to make sure that this individual wasn't welcomed in and then humiliated again because they deny Jesus again? They said time, like 5 years time. They called it acts of penance. I would say it was more, I think a better descriptor would be acts of repentance. They wouldn't let them participate in the Lord's table, but they would let them be involved in the church, not teaching or preaching, not certainly being a deacon or an elder, but they would be in full membership except for the Lord's table part because they wanted to protect the table too. Time. Sometimes it is wise to just give things time. And that's what we should do with these Christian celebrities. Just give it time. It'll reveal much. We've had too much egg on our face. And frankly, I think we just aren't being biblically wise. And furthermore, I think sometimes it reveals a bit of desperation that somehow we need a celebrity to become a Christian in order to authenticate what it is that we profess. We don't need that. Russell Brand, he announced, I think he'd been talking about it on his podcast for quite an amount of time, that he was moving toward Jesus Christ. He then announced that he was going to get baptized. Well, that was 30 days ago. And now he did a video. And I got to tell you something. It's better than I think we could have expected or hoped. There's tons of people speaking into this fellow's ears. There's tons of Christians who would rush in to try to tell him what to think and do and believe. I got to tell you, so far, really encouraging.
I've been a Christian a month now, and it's been a big change. Not that I've entirely changed as a person. Of course I haven't. But I've taken on a lot of new concepts, and it changes you to accept that it's not like you're in a game show and by doing really, really good things, you can get redeemed. No, repentance, to repent, means that you have to continually change and acknowledge that I am in a battle against myself, that I need to surrender myself to an ever-present internal and accessible Jesus, that mercy is something that's given to me, been granted to me, that I live with through love, not something that I can sort of win or achieve by.
Oh, I can't cut the guy off. The man doesn't take a breath. I totally biffed them. Okay.
Doing good deeds.
There. Got him. Got him. Hey, that's what you get for breathing, Russell. Ha. Okay. Could some of that, of course, have been a little bit more orderly? Yeah, but at least he's seems to be quite spot on with the concept of ongoing repentance. Remember, and I've seen a lot of people get confused by this, that they hear that they need to repent to become a Christian and keep on repenting, and then therefore they conclude that your repentance keeps you a Christian. Your repentance doesn't keep you a Christian. Jesus keeps you a Christian. But the ongoing life of the believer is a life of repentance. Russell Brand seems to have a handle on that.
It's brought incredible people to me, incredible literature to me. It's brought a sense of peace. And when I'm in doubt, I feel that instruction is there, accessible. I feel like I know what I'm supposed to do. And when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, that's even clearer. Like when I feel myself being selfish or inconsiderate, wow, or putting myself first, or
that is really encouraging. He's starting to recognize sins that the world tends to overlook. In fact, we've turned the sin of selfishness into the premier attribute of being a human being, that you got to do everything for you. By the way, Jimmy, finally, this gives me an opportunity. This is a song from the 1960s. This whole idea of worship of self, doing whatever you want to do, it started in the Romantic era. It made its way through postmodernism, and today we see it as full-blown individualism is, well, that's the top of the mountain, doing everything my way. Well, Frank Sinatra wasn't the only member of the Rat Pack to have that rotten theology. It's Sammy Davis Jr., man.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I gotta be me.
Yeah, baby. Whether I'm right or wrong, too bad for you.
What else can I be but what I am?
What else can I be but what I am? Well, conformed into the image of Jesus Christ and obeying his laws, Russell Brand seems to have better theology than Sammy Davis Jr., although, did he die as a practicing Jewish man? I can't remember. He was into some wonky stuff. Russell Brand seems to be rejecting the praise of autonomy.
Not thinking about how I can be better to other people. It's as if there is an inner illumination available to me now. I love the simplicity of the idea of God come to earth as a man to experience what it is to be human and to sacrifice himself, because that's the only sacrifice that could bring us home, that could give us the opportunity for redemption.
It could, again, your ears might hear that and go, well, he should be talking about the law and the gospel, sin. And true, he's 30 days in. I say we should be encouraged.
I like the idea when I'm in prayer and in communion, just alone, that there is a figure available, wounded and coronated, available to me in my failings and my failures And in my fallibility, there is strength to be broken, not just broken by life in the sense of life is wearying and exhausting, but to be broken in the same way that you have to train an animal to behave itself, to be broken into better conduct. It's a beautiful journey to go on. I know I'm just at the beginning. I know I'm just learning. I know there's so much more to learn, and I'm so excited to learn more from you and for us to learn together. Let me know where your journey is taking you. Can you remember your first month as a Christian? And let me know if, since I've been talking about this publicly, it's made you think about Christianity differently. We're having lots of conversations about this stuff, and I'm so grateful to be having them with you. Stay free.
So grateful that he's got a boldness. I trust he understands the cost. I'm sure he had to weigh it to a degree, because these days being a Christian doesn't usually bring along more subscribers and usually drives people away. What do we do with a celebrity like Russell Brand? Practice wisdom. But at this moment, I say, cool. This is Wretched Radio. Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical, teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of The Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside-down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously, knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's story time. And it's a heartbreaker. This is Wretched Radio. Rightly so, we focus on babies when it comes to the subject of abortion. Yes, it is correct to focus on mommies, but all too often, we forget about the dads that are often involved. Now, unfortunately, many of those dads are rascals. They're not willing to take responsibility. They even go so far as to encourage a woman to terminate the baby that he had made with that woman. Doesn't get much lower than that, but there are men who didn't want their wives, who didn't want their girlfriends to have an abortion. You're about to meet one such man. His name is Thomas. That's all we've got. He drove 3 hours to go to a Students for Life speech that was given, it appears to be a university campus. And he grabbed the microphone to share his story. And I think it's a story that is not only heartbreaking, but too seldom told.
My daughter's name is Clementine. She was 5 months along when she was aborted in New Jersey. My daughter was healthy. I begged her mother not to go through with the abortion. For 5 months, we went back and forth. Ooh. I don't hate my ex. I love her, and I'm working on forgiving her.
That's an interesting comment, isn't it? Because she decided death. He wanted life. Oof. How can you forgive somebody who has wounded you so deeply? There is only one well into which you can dip. There is only one way that you can possibly get to the point where you not just forgive, but you even love those who hurt you, wound you, persecute you, sin against you. And that is recognizing that the sins that I have committed against God are so much more monumental than any sin anybody has ever committed against me. Then and only then, as I do sin math, could I possibly come to the point where I can say it's actually easy to forgive. I hope this fellow finds his way there.
She was confused. She was uncertain. And she had doubts. Why do you think, and this is just a thought that just came into my head, why do you think that people dehumanize my Clementine? Why wasn't she human enough for people to help me mourn? Why wasn't she human enough for people to talk about?
Because she's hidden. Because she can't be seen. We aren't to the point yet where the majority of folks would find themselves a pitchfork to insist that it is legal to kill a naughty toddler or a toddler who causes inconvenience or a toddler who thwarts somebody's plans. We're not there yet. And the reason is we can see that it's a human being. Gotta tell you, this is why ultrasound's so important. When you see the baby, 80% of the time, mommies choose life because it's clear, it is obvious. It would be a good time to point you in the direction of preborn ministries. They're giving away ultrasounds. They aren't free. They are to the client, but it takes something to provide them. It's $28 per ultrasound. I encourage you to consider how many could you support. 80% of the time, a mommy sees the baby in her womb. She chooses life. Preborn.org/wretched to support their efforts to save babies and mommies because they preach the gospel. I think there's another reason why people are willing to feel no pity or sympathy or shame about abortion. It is because we're dealing with darkened minds and darkened hearts. They want that thing to be nothing but a blob of tissue. Because they want to live in a way that they choose for themselves. And let's be honest, a baby can kind of put the brakes on that, can it? Which is why I think increasingly and regularly, starting in the pulpits, celebrating babies, celebrating children, celebrating marriage, the world is sending a different signal. We need to counter it by shouting from the rooftops that marriage is excellent and having babies, oh, it's the bomb diggity.
My mother was given birth too prematurely at 5 months. My daughter was 5 months.
Yep.
I didn't get to say goodbye to my daughter. I didn't know about the abortion until after it happened. I begged her not to do the appointment. She told me that she canceled it. Mm. My daughter was 5 months and she was ripped apart. My daughter doesn't get a funeral. My daughter doesn't get respect. As my friend asked, yeah, medical testing on a healthy baby. Why? My girlfriend didn't pay for the abortion. The clinic did. Mm. How much money did they make off of my daughter's body? How many other babies did the doctor kill since she's been dead? This has been a month and 3 days. This happened March 12th and 13th.
By the way, you can't see the video, of course, but standing right behind this fellow is a woman who's queuing up to the microphone at this Students for Life event. She's weeping. As we all should.
My daughter was conceived October 25th. She was supposed to be born July 20th. My daughter was a person. My daughter is an angel. And I pray for her every single day. I talk to her. I still feel like she's there. I feel like on July 20th, my daughter's going to be there.
This is a man, obviously, who could use some theology, but it reveals the heart of brokenness.
Well, she had a heartbeat. Wasn't she a person? And I'm being told she's a fetus.
Well, it's not a heartbeat that makes it a human. It's the fact that it's a human. It's not an arbitrary marker like heartbeat or brain waves or feeling pain. It is at conception. It is a growing thing. It is a life. And always, 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 when a human sperm meets a human egg, there has never been an instance where a dolphin was born. It's a human being, a small one, but a human being nonetheless.
Which, by the way, everybody, that's Latin for offspring. Okay? So I don't know why we're speaking Latin. I speak English. And my daughter not only matters, but I do not want my daughter to be forgotten. I want my daughter's story to be talked about. I want her to be remembered. She wasn't just a fetus. And yeah, maybe she was just a 10%. Maybe. But she was a lot more than that for me. For 5 months, I'm told by my friends, I'm crying over somebody I never met before. I'm told by people, well, she wasn't even a person. She was just a fetus. She wasn't even a baby. She wasn't fully developed. My daughter was still growing. And my relationship with my daughter was going to grow for the rest of our lives. Mm. Why isn't my daughter human enough for people to care? Why isn't my daughter woman enough for her to have a body and for her to have a choice? Mm. My daughter was going to be beautiful, but now I don't know where she is.
I do. Safely in the arms of Jesus.
I'm just so confused. I get it. I'm just a man. You know what I mean? But men, we're not supposed to have feelings. As a father, because I'm still a father. As a father, I'm just supposed to forget. I'm just supposed to move on. And I'm confused. So my question really isn't for you because you understand. My question is really for society. Why doesn't my daughter matter? Why wasn't she enough? Why didn't she get a chance to live? And ultimately, no, I'm not blaming my ex. She had doubt and she regrets it. Ultimately, this is our government's fault.
It's a lot of wickedness that consorts together. But when you have a government that funds the taking of an innocent human being,
you've stopped evil laws in the past in America, in Germany. And you guys know what I'm talking about. We came together and we stopped evil laws.
That's right.
This is an evil law that killed my daughter. Her mother did not kill her. Again, doctors like this man right here, you're not to blame. Thank you for doing what you're doing. And thank you for speaking up because this is important.
He's a former abortionist.
And not enough men care enough to speak up. So thank you. I hugged this man today. I don't know who did this to my daughter. I wish I could ask him, was my daughter beautiful? Mm. That's all I want to know. What did her face look like? My daughter matters, and I really hope that everybody remembers Clementine And I hope you think about Clementine as much as I do. She is loved and she is not forgotten. And I hope that everybody can keep her memory alive too. Thank you.
One dead, two wounded. Thanks to the government that says, yeah, that's just a blob and we have every right to do with it as we see fit as long as it makes us happy. Well, guess what? It never does. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.